Everybody has a story, and everyone's story matters. I truly believe that there are few things in life that are more powerful and important than us sharing our stories with the world. Here on Talk That Talk podcast, that is exactly what we're all about. Tune in each week to hear the story of my guest, myself, or honestly, something else entirely. My hope is that you will listen and leave feeling encouraged and that you know that your story matters. Hello, everybody. I am back. It has been a long time, and just gonna start off with some general housekeeping here. There is a thunderstorm rolling in. I live on a busy street, and my dog wants attention. So you will probably hear panting, whining, thunder, and cars. And maybe other things too. That's all I can think of right now. But yes, I am recording an episode for the first time. I want to say, oh my gosh, in over a year, I think, for all of my listeners out there. I'm kidding. But no, really, I haven't recorded in a long time. I think because when I started my podcast, I knew what I wanted to talk about. And then I kind of not ran out of things to say, but I think I became afraid of saying a wrong thing. And I tend to speak as I'm thinking. And I guess I can always edit stuff out, but I just kind of got afraid. Unfortunately, I think that's honestly what's kept me from recording for so long, is just being afraid of saying something wrong or something that offends somebody. So that is a risk, I guess. That is a risk you take in life whenever you open your mouth. I'm going to avoid that as much as possible. But I have been learning a lot about the subject I'm going to talk about today in my own life. And I, for the first time in a long time, felt inspired to share, because I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to. And for my 10 friends who listen to this episode, I hope it is encouraging to you. I kind of have you in mind, and my little sisters especially, as I talk about this. So what I wanted to talk about, oh, and just by the way, like, I don't plan on offending anybody, but like, I think I just, yeah, for whatever reason, I just, well, I'm always afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. Like in life, I'm always afraid I'm going to do the wrong thing, whatever. And so I think I just let that get the best of me, because I really did enjoy this podcast. So maybe this will be the beginning of getting back into it. I hope so. But I also just want to be careful about what I talk about, because I'm not an expert really on anything besides, I guess, my own experiences. So unless I'm interviewing somebody else, it's hard for me to feel like I have the right to talk about a lot of things that I'm interested in, because, see, that's Stella whining, because I'm not an expert in it. So anyway, I don't know. But this I felt like I have enough experience with that I could maybe give some advice, but more so just give some encouragement. And maybe that's where my motivation should just come from, is giving encouragement on the things that I care about. So maybe I'm just giving myself advice at this point. So the thing I want to talk about today is body image and weight gain and our relationship with food, and mainly our relationship with our bodies. Any hoosierinis, and you can kind of hear the rain too. Sorry about that. Just some background noise while you listen to this podcast. Anyway, yeah, I want to talk about our relationships with our bodies. This is a part of my everyday life, the struggle, and it has been since I can remember. So I kind of just want to talk about and share my background, my history with my relationship with my body and food and body image as a kid. And then I want to talk about what it was like gaining 60 pounds in a year and living in a bigger body now. I'm learning to accept that and still love my body for what it is now, not for what it was 3 years ago. So I want to talk about that and some of the things that have helped me. And throughout this whole thing, I know that the, you know, body positivity movement is really catching on right now. And I think that's amazing. I think it's way overdue. One of the things that I have really grasped onto, though, is I've heard people say, if you can't force yourself to be positive or feel positive about your body, try starting with body neutrality, I think is what it's called. So instead of being like, yes, I love my body. And you're like, no, I really don't. I kind of hate what I see when I look in the mirror. You know, sometimes that feels too forced. And I definitely can relate to that. Like, I felt like I was trying to force myself to be like, I love what I see. And I don't, you know, so body neutrality is really aspiring to just accept your body for what it is, instead of looking in the mirror and be like, I hate this, or I love this. Just like, this is my body. This is my body. This is what it is. This is what I look like now. I might not always look like this, but this is what I look like today. Oh, you guys hear that thunder? This is what I look like now, and I'm accepting myself. And that's really what I am striving to do. So I'm going to talk about that and, you know, some of the different tokens of advice I've really taken to heart and I'm trying to implement in my own life. Also, you know, like I said, I made this with my friends and little sister, my women friends and little sisters in mind, because I know what it's like to grow up as a girl slash woman in this society. But I think that this is something that no matter your gender, at some point in your life, you probably struggle with body image. Maybe not, but I think most people have had to deal with how they feel about their appearance at some point. So I thought it would be hopefully encouraging. So like I said, I'm going to start with just kind of talking a little bit about my history growing up as a kid, what that looked like for me in terms of body image. And I will say that I can remember kind of always being a little self-conscious about my weight, even as young as maybe like 7 or 8, but it really started to bother me when I went to, when I was in 4th or 5th grade, so around 9 or 10. And I can remember the first time I really hated my body was I was in 4th grade. I think it might've been 5th. My memory isn't that great, but I think I was in 4th grade and I was in the hallway at school and I went to the water fountain. I was walking back to my class and this 3rd grader, I think this girl was just a year younger than me. She was like walking to the water fountain. So we were passing each other and she looked at me and dead serious. She was like, are you pregnant? And it's so sad when I think about it, but I remember being like really angry and offended because I was so embarrassed and I knew instantly that what she was saying was, you're so fat that I'm wondering if you're having a baby. And she could have just been like kidding, I guess, but I didn't know this girl. Like it wasn't like a friend was teasing me. So that really, really upset me. And I was just like, no, why would you say that? And I don't remember what she said in response, like, cause you're fat or I don't know. But I really took that to heart and I remember just really that being really upsetting and pretty impactful in terms of how I viewed myself after that. The next big memory I have of my relationship with my body image is in 7th grade, I was in middle school. And I was on my bus home from school. And I think this was a friend of mine, this guy that I rode the bus with. He made a comment about how wide my hips were. He was like, your hips are so wide like that. And I was like, and I don't know if it was meant to be a joke or like a compliment. I don't really remember. I think I remember he was my friend, so I didn't think he was like trying to be mean. So I remember kind of laughing it off, but inside I was very upset, you know, and I thought, well, I'm gross because my hips are wide. I guess that's a bad thing. So I remember those are the two memories that really stand out that shifted my opinion about how I looked. And I remember I always used to think as a kid, like, well, at least my face isn't that bad, which is so sad. But anyway, fast forward to high school. Actually, I guess, high school, my freshman year of high school. That's when I remember dieting for the first time. So I was 14 and I did the South Beach diet. And I remember, like, I wouldn't eat carbs, you know, couldn't eat bread, no carbs. And I would pack disgusting lunches. Like, I think I liked bologna sandwiches at the time, which is nasty to me now, but I couldn't have the bread. So I would literally put mayonnaise in bologna and roll it up and a little roll and eat it like that at lunch, which I cannot fathom doing that now. But I did in fact eat that at lunch, and it did in fact probably make people think I was weird, but I wanted to be skinny. So I can remember that's the first time I went on a diet. And I think I totally played it off to my mom, like, oh, I just want to be healthy. You know, I just want to be healthier. And that was not really the reason. Because I, around that time too, that's when I moved to Pennsylvania, and all the people I became friends with here were very thin, for the most part. Like, just my friend group was all pretty thin girls. And I can remember just being like, I'm the biggest girl in our friend group, and I got to change that, you know? So that was kind of a struggle for me all through high school. I always felt like the big girl, and I was not. I mean, I was probably like a size 8, which, I mean, now I look at someone who's a size 8 and like, you're tiny. Like, you know what I mean? So it's just weird how, yeah. But anyway, most of my friends, I think, were like 0s, 2s, 4s, maybe, you know? And I would say more on the curvy side compared to them. So I was really self-conscious about that all through high school and did the dieting thing. And I think I've always struggled with binge eating. And I think that's kind of where it started was, you know, I would try to lose weight. I would diet and then I would binge and, you know, eat a bunch of ice cream late at night or eat a bunch of snacks late at night. And this, you know, carried on into my college years as well. My senior year of high school, I think, was the thinnest I've ever been. And I think I was probably like 120 pounds. And I can remember I just still felt so fat and ugly. And like, I look back at pictures now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there was nothing to me. I don't know how I could think that. But yeah, then in college, I found exercise, and I, for the first time, I think I enjoyed exercise. I did sports in high school, but nothing that really required you to be really in shape. I mean, yeah. So I wasn't a good stellar athlete where like I had to stay in shape all year or anything like that. So I guess that was a good thing. I found that in college, but I also started to get really sick in college. I developed IBS, which I'm sure, or I'm almost 30, so most of my friends at this age probably experience some stomach issues. I feel like that happens more and more the older you get. But yeah, I started to develop just, I would get sick after I ate every single meal. I would feel sick. And to the point where like, I just wouldn't eat sometimes because it was just better to not eat than eat and feel horrible. So that really pushed me into like a rabbit hole of the like wellness scene, I guess. I became very obsessed with food having morality attached to it, eating quote unquote clean and only eating organic foods and, you know, not eating anything processed and like just all the things. I mean, I saw a doctor for my stomach issues and I didn't felt like I wasn't being helped at all. So then I went to see, you know, naturopath and homeopathic specialists, and it helped to some degree, but it was also, I was spending hundreds of dollars a month on supplements and I had to pack my food everywhere I went because I couldn't eat anything processed. I couldn't eat sugar. I didn't eat gluten. I didn't eat dairy. I didn't eat soy. I didn't eat peanuts. I didn't eat eggs. I literally cut out everything under the sun. So I was kind of eating more like a paleo Whole 30 style diet. And I think it started out with good intentions, right? I wanted to just feel okay to eat. I was sick all the time. But I think even as I started to, like, psychologically, that messes with you. And I really became obsessed with the fact that food has morality to it. There are good foods and there are bad foods. And I am trying to unlearn that. I think there are nutritious foods and then there are less nutritious foods. And yeah, you should try to get nutrients in your meals. But I don't subscribe to the belief anymore that there are foods that are pure and there are foods that are evil. I think that messes with a lot of people's psyche and body image and what they think of themselves. Because if you eat ice cream and you think ice cream is bad, then you're going to feel guilty for eating ice cream. And that's just stupid. You should eat ice cream and enjoy it. Ice cream is meant to be enjoyed. Food is not just fuel. I don't think anymore. I think I used to think like food is fuel. Food, that's all it is. But food is also culture. It's also tradition. It's also, how we connect with others. It's meant to be enjoyed. And no, we're not, you know, yes, you should get nutrients in your food and all that stuff, but it's not just fuel. I mean, we all know like food is attached to so many happy memories and times in our life. Anyway, I'll get off that soapbox for a minute. So anyway, yes, I'm in college and I'm sick and I'm trying to figure all this out and I'm basically Whole 30 and spending hundreds of dollars on supplements. And for me, now I would not say this is true for everybody with IBS or stomach issues. And in fact, I was very offended by this notion at first. But when I first started to get sick a lot, people would say, oh, well, you probably have this stomach issue stuff because you're stressed, like stress brought this on, or, you know, it's all in your head, or it's because you went through a hard time or whatever. And it definitely wasn't all in my head because I felt it in my body and I got sick. But I will say now, looking back, I do think the onset of it for me was brought on by stress. And I think sometimes that happens and then your body just needs time to adjust. And eventually my body got back to a point where now I can eat everything again. I can tolerate dairy. I can tolerate gluten. I was never allergic to anything. And I'm fine now for the most part, you know? So that kind of carried on the Whole 30 thing and the paleo thing and packing my food and supplements. And that carried on past college for a few years. And then as I started to feel better, I definitely started to realize, oh my gosh, I can eat this now and I don't get sick. And I think that brought back on some of the binge mentality. I mean, I even struggled with binging while I was like on that crazy diet. I would just binge like plantain chips instead of potato chips, you know, or quote unquote healthier things. I think I still had some of a disordered eating pattern. But as I started to be able to eat more foods again without getting sick, I think that just became a little exacerbated because I was so excited to be able to eat food again that I missed. And along with that, I was going through a transition in my life and I was really struggling mentally and kind of had a mental breakdown. Not kind of, I definitely did. And I, through that year, I think I kind of ate to survive. And also trigger warning for suicidal ideation. But I was, yeah, like I said, really struggling mentally. And looking back now, I was just in survival mode. And so, yeah, you know, was I disappointed that I gained 60 pounds in a year? Yes, definitely. But now I can say with full confidence that I am much happier to have gained 60 pounds than you know, the alternative at that time for me, which would have been taking my own life. So that is better than no longer being here. And that sounds maybe a little dramatic, but I do think that you do what you have to do to survive sometimes when you're going, when you're that low and you're in survival mode, and it, those things that you do in survival mode may not be the healthiest coping mechanisms. Like, I wouldn't suggest eating as a coping mechanism, but that's what I did to survive. That was part of it, you know? So I gained 60 pounds in a year, and it was a really jarring experience, more so after the fact, after everything kind of settled down. And I was more stable mentally and emotionally, and I was kind of getting back on my feet. That's when it became really weird that all of a sudden I was looking in the mirror and I was not seeing the body I was used to. And even now, 3 years later, I still kind of think that I'm smaller than I am. Like, when I think about what I look like in my mind's eye, I'm 130 pounds. And it's not until I see myself in the mirror or I see myself in a picture that I realize, like, no, I'm 190 pounds. You know, I'm no longer a size 8, I'm a size 18. And that was really hard at first because I definitely felt like gaining that much weight made me ugly, made me, you know, just like less attractive, less pretty. And just less valuable. I think that fat phobia is definitely a real thing. And I have not experienced it, I'm sure, to the extent that many people do. But I do feel like I noticed some people treating me a little bit differently when I saw them after gaining a lot of weight. And it could just be because they were surprised. Like, girl, you gained 60 pounds in a year. Like, what's going on? But yeah, I do think it, I felt like it changed some people's perception of me, and that could be me projecting, but I don't feel like that with everybody, but there are some people that I felt like that with, and that was kind of weird. You know, and I think it made me feel less worthy of like dating, and for a while I think I felt like I had to lose all the weight before I could start dating again. And yeah, it definitely messed with me and how I viewed myself. And so at the beginning of 2020, like I said, when I was kind of getting back on my feet, I went right back into the dieting phase. You know, I did the whole 30. I cut out a bunch of foods and lost weight, kind of gained it back. I then hired a professional like dietitian who helped me plan out my macros for every meal. And I would email her my weight 3 times a week. And she was great. Like, I think that if you're going to try to lose weight, that's a great way to go about it, is working with a professional, because she made sure I didn't lose weight too fast. But I think if you struggle with disordered eating, and I'm not saying I have an eating disorder, I have not been diagnosed with that, but I just know my history with binging and restricting and viewing food as good and evil, that I don't think for me dieting is healthy anywhere in the near future, dieting to lose weight. And I'll talk more about that later. So anyway, yeah, and I remember I had this goal. So I gained all the weight in 2019. The beginning of 2020, my New Year's resolution was I'm going to lose all 60 pounds by September 25th by my best friend's wedding. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And, you know, didn't do it. As you're probably guessing. And just was obsessed with it. Just was obsessed with getting my old body back and wanting to be 130 pounds again, hanging on to all my old clothes and not buying new clothes that fit my body, because I wasn't going to be fat for much longer. You know, I remember thinking that. And just all the things. I mean, you know, whatever. So I did that for all of 2020, and I would say all of 2021. I dieted or restricted and binge, restricted and binge, restricted and binge, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight, gained weight. I got down to 160 pounds, I think, in 2021. I was so excited. And then I'm well all the way back up to like 185, 190 at this point. So I've gained it all back. And I've heard, you know, from what I've read and stuff, that that tends to happen when people restrict and then binge a lot, like the dieting cycle is you tend to lose weight. And then once you kind of binge and you go off your diet, you gain all the weight back plus some maybe. So you might even gain more weight than you did last time. And I think for me, I have noticed that to be true. And so in 2022, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was just like, I'm not doing it this year. I'm not dieting. I am not going on a diet. I'm not doing it. I can't do it anymore psychologically. This is not working. I think I finally got to a point where I was like, literally look at what you've been doing since you were 14. You've been doing this since you were 14. You're 28 years old. This is not working for you. This is not getting you like the body that you want, the acceptance of yourself that you want, that the happiness with yourself, the confidence in yourself. You're not getting what you want by cutting out foods that you can eat. You're not allergic to them. Obviously, if you're allergic to food or food makes you sick, stop eating it. I'm not saying that, but to just lose weight, it is not working for you, your end result. So I decided I'm not going to diet this year. I'm going to try and focus on not binging and working on my relationship with food. And that is me, that I'll talk about some of the things that have helped me since deciding that. We're back. And I am now going, well, first, I just want to say that I watched this TikTok today by the creator named Ash Blackwood. That's AshBlackwood. And she sings this song, and the caption says, Auntie Gladys says, even when all feels lost, you're going to be okay. And she sings this song, and it's amazing, and I'm going to play it for you. And you should go look up her video and like it and follow her.
Your brain is
like... Oh, wait, hold on, I got to start over. Okay.
You're gonna be okay. Is it down in your mind? Just take your time. You're gonna be okay. Puff out your chest. Take a deep breath. You're gonna be okay. Is it loud in your mind? Just take your time. You're gonna be okay. Your brain is lying to you. Don't let it fool you.
Ain't that the truth? Your brain is lying to you. Don't let it fool you. So now I want to talk about what I'm learning now. So 2022 and beyond, what am I trying to do? What am I trying to learn? The first thing, the most important thing to me in this aspect of my life, in this journey, is learning to eat intuitively and stop binging. Taking care of the disordered pattern of eating. This is really hard for me. I am used to eating with my eyes as a kid. I mean, I just remember we were like, oh, eat till your plate is clean. And I think I still kind of do that. I eat with my eyes. I eat very quickly. I don't take my time when I'm eating. I'm not mindful when I'm eating most of the time. Most of the time I'm watching TV or listening to a podcast when I'm eating, mostly watching TV because I live alone. So I just bring my meals out into my living room and watch TV while I eat. And I am trying really hard to start eating intuitively and start putting things into practice that reduce the likelihood of me binging. So what does that look like? I try to eat at least 3 meals a day. Sometimes if I'm really on the ball, I'll try to eat a couple snacks in between. That might sound like a lot, but a full meal, you know, a full breakfast, a nutritious breakfast where I'm getting good stuff, full lunch, full dinner, and maybe a couple snacks in between, or, you know, a snack after dinner. Now you can hear sirens in the background. I don't know what to tell you. I can't do anything about it. This is my house. So I'm sorry for the background noise, but it is what it is. And along with that, when I am eating, being present with my meal. That sounds so silly, but sitting down at my dining room table, which I don't always do, but checking in with myself before I start eating, like, okay, how hungry am I? Try not to let myself get like ravenously hungry, because that's definitely going to increase the likelihood that I'm going to binge, right? And that's part of the reason I try to eat three meals a day too, is because if I skip breakfast, it's more likely I'm going to binge later on. Or if I eat not a, like if I don't eat a big enough lunch, if I eat an inadequate amount of food, the likelihood of me binging later on, especially at night, that's when I'm most tempted to binge. That likelihood is going to go up. So try to eat three meals a day. Try to be more intuitive with my eating. Ask myself, okay, how hungry am I? Halfway through my meal, like how am I feeling now? Am I getting full? I'm starting to feel a little full. Like maybe let's slow down. And then after I eat, check in with myself again. How are you feeling now? Are you feeling full to the point where you're sick? All right, that's something to take note of, not to beat yourself up over, but to take note of. And it's honestly like, I feel like I'm relearning my hunger and fullness cues. I mean, it sounds kind of ridiculous, but I can't remember ever really having a super healthy relationship with food. And I think you kind of have to start from the beginning in some ways. And I am not a dietitian or nutritionist or health coach or anything like that, but these are the techniques I've been reading about and I've been learning, and that they have been helping me. I feel like this is the most helpful thing I've ever – these are the most helpful tools I've ever had when it comes to my relationship with food than anything before. So hopefully it's helpful. Oh, this is really helpful for me. So I have this app. It's called the RR app, and – it's actually for people recovering from eating disorders. And again, I've never been diagnosed with an eating disorder, but I still find it very helpful because it asks you, it reminds you to eat. So I get a notification in the morning around 8, in the afternoon around 1, in the evening around 6 to eat and to log my meal. And it's not like logging calories, it's not logging macros, which is totally fine to do if you are like, if that's mentally and emotionally healthy for you, like by all means do that. But for me, it's not helpful right now. But I will put in what I eat. And then it asks me questions like, how do you feel after eating this? Do you feel good, fine, happy, down in the dumps, depressed? And then I can also add like specific emotions. Do you feel ashamed? Do you feel disgusted? Do you feel joyful? Do you feel content? Like, how do you feel after eating this meal? Do you have physical pain? And then it will ask, did you binge during this meal? And if you skip the meal, you also can log that. And then it'll ask you, did you skip this meal because you're restricting? So it asks you kind of for those disordered patterns of eating that will help you see like what those patterns look like in your life. And then it also, then there's a space for you to type in what you ate. So, you know, I just give like a brief description. Like I ate oatmeal with peanut butter and banana and a coffee to drink. And then it'll say did you eat an inadequate amount of food, an adequate amount of food, or an excessive amount of food? So my goal is obviously to eat an adequate amount of food. I don't want an inadequate amount and I don't want an excessive amount. So it feels so good on days when I'm in bed at night and I look back through my three meals of the day and I see adequate, adequate, adequate. That's the best. And then it asks you like, how mindful were you during this meal? So were you eating compulsively, which is usually what I do when I'm binging. It's very compulsive. Like I might not even realize totally what I'm doing, or it just doesn't feel like I'm really there, if that makes sense. So compulsive, you know, you can say I was distracted, I was aware, or I was mindful, or like Zen master is like the ultimate where you're like, I am totally intuitive with like what's going on and how full I am and whatever. And then there's a section for you to type your thoughts. So I love that. I love that app. I think it's a really great way for me to be able to look and see how my relationship with food is progressing or is stagnant or whatever. Because that's ultimately what I'm trying to work on, is stopping the disordered eating and stopping the disordered relationship with food. So that's a great tool for me. And again, that's called the RR app. I don't know what the RR stands for, recovery something, but I don't know. It's an orange bird. So if you type in like recovery eating disorder app on Google, you'll probably find it. some other things that I am trying to be intentional about doing is appreciating, or not even appreciating, accepting my body for what it is. So again, like I said earlier, instead of looking in the mirror and being like, I love the way I look, or I hate the way I look, just saying, this is how I look. This is my body. This is what it looks like. If it offends other people, that's their problem. I'm sorry if my body offends you by existing. There's not much I can do about that. And how can I expect other people to accept me if I can't first accept myself, right? So trying to accept my body and, like I said before, appreciate it in the sense that, like, it has carried me through 28 years of really great times and really hard times. And it is still carrying me, which is a great blessing that my body is functioning and overall it's healthy. And yeah, so that's something else I'm trying to really work on. Next is freaking buy new clothes. If you're like holding on, like I was holding on to my size 8 jeans, you know, and because I was like, I'm gonna fit in these again. I'm gonna fit in these again. And I wouldn't buy myself any new clothes. I have started to buy myself new clothes. I bought myself jeans, new bathing suits. And it's so great to be able to actually fit in what you wear and feel good in what you wear, because this is my body now. Like, it might not be what I always wanted, but it is what it is. Like, this is, like I said, this is my body. So you should dress to fit your body. And if you want to hold on to your old clothes, okay, that's fine. But maybe just buy some clothes that fit you that you like. You know, like, I would just wear these like ugly clothes because I was like, well, I'm not going to have these for long because I'm going to lose weight. And I don't think there's anything wrong with losing weight as long as, like I said, you're mentally and emotionally healthy for that to be your goal. And sometimes you have to for health reasons. Like, I get it. I'm not here to say like all diets are like evil or losing weight is bad or exercising is bad. That is not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that people in bigger bodies exist and that is perfectly fine. And we're not here just to be skinny and lose weight. And I don't think that weight is the best factor of determining health. I mean, I think we know people who are, you know, like, there are fat people I know that work out and eat really nutritious meals, and there are skinny people that I know that don't do that. So I don't think that weight is the ultimate determining factor when it comes to health. And especially, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not the determining factor of your value. And that's really what this is about. Like, I don't like the argument of, well, you're promoting obesity. I don't really think anybody's promoting obesity, to be honest with you. I think that people are saying we want to be seen because literally we exist, right? Like, fat people exist, people in big bodies exist, and they deserve to be seen. They deserve to be heard. And, people of all bodies do. Like, that, I think that that though is like the body positivity, the anti-fat bias movement is, it's not promoting obesity. I really don't think that that is the point. I think it's that everybody, every human being is valuable no matter what their body looks like. Okay, now that I've said that, buy new clothes. Buy clothes that fit you. Buy clothes that make you feel good, make you feel cute, comfy, functional, fashionable. Buy some clothes if you can afford it. And if you can't afford brand new clothes, secondhand, try to secondhand shop. And just trying to not care as much what other people think. I know it's so hard. And like, so easy to say, but it's so hard. But again, like, if my body offends somebody, that's not really my issue. And I fully accept that my appearance might not be everybody's cup of tea, like in terms of dating and attractiveness, whatever. And that's perfectly fine. That's okay. And I might not like it, but like, it is what it is, right? Like, I mean, I'm not going to be everybody's preference, and that's okay. Wear what you want because you're an adult. You can wear what you want. You can wear a two-piece bathing suit, even if you're curvy, even if you're fat, even if you got some rolls and stretch marks. Oh, and I've learned, you know, not just now, because I think this has been around for a little bit, but in case you didn't know, fat is not an insult anymore. Fat is just a descriptor word, like skinny or thin. Fat is fine. And I saw this TikTok of this comedian. I can't remember her name, but she was like, why is it that people equate being ugly or being fat with being ugly? She's like, I'll say to somebody like, yeah, I know I'm fat. And they're like, no, you're so pretty. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I didn't say I was ugly. But it's so true, right? Like over here, like, but you have such a pretty face. And you're like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, being fat does not mean you're ugly. But we just equate thinness with beauty so much. And yeah, you don't have to be skinny to be pretty. That's just so unfortunate. But wear what you want. You're an adult. You can wear what you want. Wear shorts in the summer because it's hot. Like, that's hard for me sometimes. You know, showing my legs or showing my arms like in the summer, you know, it's like, I don't want to wear a tank top because my arms are big or whatever, but it's hot. Okay. I'm going to wear a tank top because it's hot and I'm mowing the yard. I'm not going to wear a short sleeve shirt when I could wear a tank top. So wear what you want, wear a two-piece bathing suit, wear whatever makes you feel comfortable. And that like the two-piece bathing suit, that was a thing for me because I was like, well, I got to wear one piece now because I'm bigger. Okay. I like the one-piece look. But the functionality of a one piece, I'm sorry, it's not my favorite. When you go to the bathroom, you got to take the whole thing off. I would prefer a two piece. So I was like, I'm buying a two piece. And in fact, I bought 3 2-pieces and they're wonderful. So wear whatever your heart desires, wear what makes you feel comfortable, wear what makes you feel cute, confident, pretty, whatever, wear what you want. So with that, I'm trying to unlearn those things and reframe my thinking. And one thing I'm trying very hard to be intentional about is no longer commenting on other people's bodies and not letting people comment on my bodies. I used to say to my younger sister, Olivia, all the time, because she's very thin. And I used to say like, oh my gosh, like we'd be trying on clothes in a store and I'd be like, oh my gosh, well, we know everything you try on is going to fit you because everything fits you. And that wasn't like to be mean, but I was jealous. I mean, like, she looks good in everything she tries on. And I just assume like, well, yeah, everything's going to fit you and you don't have any struggles. You don't know my struggles because you're skinny. And that's not fair. That's not fair because I don't know how she feels about her body in that moment. And that probably feels like you're being silenced a little bit and like you don't have room to share how you feel about your body. So I have talked to her about that and, you know, have made a point to like no longer comment on her body at all and to not let people comment on my body. Like, I don't want to, you know, hear like, oh my gosh, you look skinny or you look like you've lost weight. Like, I don't need to hear that. I don't really want to hear that. I think it is different if you're trying to lose weight and your friends know that and they're like, oh my gosh, you look so great. Like, I know you've been trying to lose weight and you look like you have, like you're succeeding at your goal. Like, I think that's different, but tell me I'm pretty, I'm cute, I'm like, whatever. Tell me that all day, but don't tell me, oh my gosh, you look skinny or you look like you've gained a few pounds. I don't need to hear that. And I'm not going to comment on other people's bodies anymore. And that is very intentional. I want to protect other people. I want to protect myself. I want to protect my younger sisters from growing up thinking that their appearance and their body is the most important thing about them, the thing that makes them valuable or invaluable, the things that makes them pretty or not pretty, that whatever. That is, I do not want them to be 30 years old still struggling with their relationship with food and their body. And they might, you know, but if I can help prevent some of that, I'm going to do so. So yeah, be careful what you say about your own body too around others. Like the comments of like, oh my gosh, I'm so fat, you know, I'm so ugly, I'm so whatever. Like, I hate how my how my hips look, or I hate how my thighs look, or I don't have a thigh, whatever. All the things that we say about our bodies, it's okay, I think, to share with people that love you that you're struggling with how you look or you're struggling with your body image. Like, I can say to my friends, you know, yeah, I'm feeling really self-conscious about this area of my body, or I'm really struggling with how I look and to accept myself. That's fine. But to just come out and disparagingly talk about your body in front of other people, that does affect others. Because if you think about, like, I know I've had this happen to me so many times where I have, like, I know someone who's thinner than me, and they'll say, I'm so fat. And I'm like, okay, well, if you're fat, then I'm a freaking humpback whale, because, girl, like, I'm three sizes bigger than you, you know? And it's not to say that people who are thinner than you can't experience body dysmorphia or struggles with their body image. I'm not saying that at all. I think every person has, unique struggles. And I'm not saying that thin people can't struggle with this as well. But what I am saying is, I'm going forward, I'm going to try to be intentional about not speaking disparagingly about my body in front of others in a way that is not me confiding in them, or, yeah, to just put myself down for the sake of it. I'm going to try not to do that anymore, and I'm sure I will fail. But that is a goal of mine, because, you know, it affects me when other people do that to me. Because, you know, my friends will say these things about themselves, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't think that about you. Like, I think you look great. And so I just think it's important, especially for younger people, how we talk about our own bodies is very, very important, because it teaches them then what they should think about their bodies. And I don't want to teach my younger sisters that they should hate their bodies if they get bigger, or that they should only love their bodies when they're small. You're going to go through times in life where your weight can fluctuate, and everybody goes through different things, and so many things can make you fluctuate in weight. And I want my younger sisters to love their body and accept their body for what it is at all times in their life, and always treat it with respect in terms of, you know, yes, getting nutrients, getting movement that they enjoy, but not for the sake of being skinny. For the sake of being happy, and for being stable, and for being content, for getting movement because they enjoy it and it makes them feel good and it releases endorphins and it lifts them out of a low mood, and eating food that they love and enjoying it because it tastes good and it makes them feel good. Like, that's what I want. So I'm not really making points. I'm just kind of talking. Yeah, I'm trying to stop attaching morality to food. I'm trying to protect my younger sisters and my friends, being careful how I talk about my body in front of others, not hiding myself, not being afraid to take up space. That's really hard, but trying to believe that I don't need to hide myself. I don't need to hide what I look like, because I look like what I look like. And what else? Exercise and eat to enjoy your life. Pursue health and feel better. Not to lose weight or change yourself to get your old self back. Yeah. I'm trying to pursue mental health and part of that, and spiritual health and emotional health. And yeah, physical health. I think I'm overall pretty physically healthy. I mean, you go to the doctor and they tell me I'm healthy all the time. Every time I go. But yeah, not doing that a punishment or self-hatred. And really, that's the goal. The goal for me is less self-hatred in this area of my life, less self-hatred of my physical body, and, you know, less self-hatred of in other areas as well. So this was very jumbled, but I hope it was helpful. I hope I didn't sound too preachy or judgy. And like I said, I'm not against losing weight or dieting for, you know, a good reason, you know, within reason, I guess I should say. And when you're healthy mentally and emotionally enough to do it, and you don't have a disordered eating. And I want to encourage you to pursue your well-being, to be happy, and to be thriving, not to be skinny. And there is help out there if you struggle with an eating disorder or disordered eating or body dysmorphia, or there is help out there. There's a lot of resources, and of course there's always therapy. And those who know me know I'm a big advocate of therapy. So get into therapy. It's great. It'll change your life. Protect each other. Encourage each other. Be real with one another about your struggles and lift one another up. I know so many people who this is such a hard struggle for so many of my friends, and it might be something we're always unlearning for the rest of our lives, but it's a worthy pursuit to unlearn a lot of these damaging beliefs that we've carried from our childhood into adulthood. Just try to accept yourself. That's what I'm doing. And it's really hard, but that's the journey I'm on. And I am happy to walk along that journey with you too. If you're still listening, thank you for listening all the way to the end. And that is all I have today. Thank you for letting me share and talk and getting some creativeness out, because I needed this. So love you all. Thank you for listening. And I will see you next time. Hey friends, hope you all enjoyed the show. Feel free to check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave a review, leave a rating, subscribe so you don't miss anything. And I hope you will be back and join us in the future.